From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, fuckers, what up? This is Christina Hutchinson.
And Corinne Fisher. You are about to listen to a clip from Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast. This week, we interview stand-up comedian Rosebud Baker, who just released a special called Whiskey Fists on YouTube with Comedy Central stand-up. Also, if you are in Austin, Texas, Guys We Fucked, that's me and Christina. Woo. We are going to be performing live at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival.
Yes.
We're doing a slew of shows, but the one that you need to know about is the live taping of Guys We Fucked. That's happening in the Sunset Room on Saturday, September 25th at 9 p.m. We have a very special guest who is named Trevor Wallace.
Yes.
You know, Trevor Wallace. And we are going to do audience interaction, and it's just going to be wild. We never really do the podcast live, and so when we do, we make sure that it's balls to the fucking wall. And do not fret if you are not in Austin, Texas, or close enough to Austin, Texas to make your way there physically, or if you don't want to because of COVID, you can buy a ticket to see the show from your computer from anywhere in the motherfucking world. We have teamed with Moment House, and when we say anywhere in the world, really anywhere in the world,
I mean,
I'm sure
internet.
There's like a couple countries that legally won't let it
in. They're probably like, don't watch these horrors, but
yeah. But other than that, anywhere in the world, for $13, you're gonna go to momenthouse.com/guyswefucked without the U in fucked
or the E in fucked,
or the E in fucked, so no vowels in fucked. And we have to adjust that from earlier then, and watch the show. It's gonna be so much fun. But right now, if you want to hear the rest of this interview with Rosebud Baker, where we really get into it, because a lot's happened to Rosebud since we last spoke to her. She's married. She went through some traumatic personal issues that I guess you'll have to, that seems like a real weird teaser, but you're gonna go to apple.co/GWF. again, that's apple.co/GWF, where you can subscribe to the Luminary channel via Apple Podcasts and listen to the entire catalog from the past 2 years of Guys We Fucked.
I think people get stuck acting or living a certain way because they become so attached to what, to this, like, we work and we live in a culture that's very, you know, you're working off of feedback. So like what people like about you online, which is of course a simulation, is like what you're being rewarded for.
Yeah.
So if that's where you're getting rewarded, it's pretty natural to just live according to what makes you feel good. But if that's the only thing that's making you feel good, you end up becoming sort of like a simulated version of yourself.
Yeah.
And I see it happen in entertainment a lot. And I've, especially during COVID, it was really fucking crazy.
Wow, so?
I just saw people like really losing their mind.
Oh, and not, yes. And broadcasting
and
it.
And broadcasting it.
Yeah.
And
yes, yes,
in
yes.
a way that was like, oh God. Like, in a way that made me question everything about what I was doing with my life, and still am questioning everything about what I'm doing with my life.
Sometimes it's like the vulnerability, the pendulum swung way too hard in the other way. And it's like, you know how Uber says anyone can be a driver? That's just not true.
Right.
But according to Uber, it is. And it's, that's why you could fucking, you have all these dum-dums being like, I'll drive you to the airport, and then you crash, or he tries to rape you or something.
Or you just get a notification that's like, your driver is blind.
Yeah.
Or you're hard of hearing. Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's fun.
Yeah. Your driver can't hear. So if a car comes, can you
like,
tell him?
Okay.
Like, wait, and then you feel like you're going to be canceled if you
right.
cancel them.
Exactly.
But you have to sign a waiver to give your life away for this trip.
It's like if a woman cheated on you with your boyfriend during the Me Too movement, like feminism made you feel bad, like talking shit about her or something.
Right,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
It's like this weird, I don't know, man.
It's a balance. I think that people have to find what their own individual balance is, and that's a missing piece.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's not... That's like with sexuality and women. It's like, yeah, we can fuck. But if somebody's like, oh man, I went out and I fucked 10 guys tonight, I'd be like, that's fucked up. Mm-hmm. Where is the balance in your life? That's too much fucking. That's not, you can't, you got to eat or you got to do something.
You're going to get a UTI.
You're going to get, there's a lot of stuff, but like mainly it's not balance and you're strutting this around as if it's something to be proud of. But really what you to be proud of is something that you're like, oh, I figured out how to like work my life out.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Getting stuff off your chest is incredible. It's so therapeutic. We all carry around different stressors. Some of them are big, some of them are small, a lot of them are very big. But we keep them bottled up and it could start affecting us negatively. And then we act like a jerk to the people we love. And we're like, this is not how I want to be. Therapy has saved my life personally. There are so many benefits of it. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. And it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Although if you have experienced major trauma, highly recommend. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designated to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist and you could switch at any time. Finding a therapist is like dating. They're not all going to work out in the first try. BetterHelp understands that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/guys to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/guys.
Exactly.
Do you feel like you've worked your life out since we last talked?
So no, much has changed. Nothing. What has changed?
So, okay. So you're married. So Rosebud got engaged during quarantine. What was it? The first, second day?
Third day.
I was like, wow. Really?
Third day of quarantine.
Third day. We were dating for like 6 months.
Okay. Which, I mean, normally I would frown upon, but you are, I think once you are in your 30s, it's okay to do that.
I think so too.
Yeah. I truly believe that.
I do too.
I tweeted about it.
Yeah.
So you know,
I'm like, you know what you like. You know, you know yourself.
Yeah. When people do that in their 20s, it's absolutely crazy. But 30s, exactly. Because I know how fast I am now at dumping people because I just know this is not going to work.
Right.
And so instead of things lasting 2, 3, 4 years, you're like, oh, you know, 6 months, 8 months, I'm
how
out.
How did you know? This is such a cliche question, but how do you know he wasn't one? But how do you know somebody you could marry?
I mean, I still, I'm like, there's days where we get in a fight and I'm like, I have to tell myself, you can get divorced. As if it's like an affirmation. You know what I mean?
I have an
like,
out.
Just because I freak out because I'm like, this is so permanent.
Right.
But then I'm like, nothing's permanent. You know, like right. I have to tell myself like divorce is an option. Divorce is an option. Yeah. And I just like, and I really
get that crocheted on your wall.
I know people say that that's like a fucked up way to think, but I really don't.
It's safe. It feels safe.
I think it's, yeah, it's like giving a yourself good way
breathing saying room. That you have choices and you're not stuck.
Yeah, look, you can love skydiving, but like you don't remove the ripcord to show that you love it. You know what I mean? Like you have to know that that's there to feel safe skydiving. Mm-hmm. And like that's,
yeah.
So I wouldn't say that I ever got to a point where I was like, oh, this is, you know, a sound option or like a great, but I've always wanted to get married. Like that was something that I wanted for myself more than having kids. I don't know why.
I was going to say, why? What about it?
I don't know. It was something that I always, you know, growing up, like I had an aunt who was married to this guy and they were really in love. And every time I saw them, they were so fun together. They were always having so much fun.
Yeah.
And I always wanted a marriage like that. Like I always wanted a marriage where it felt what's the Sinatra song? It's like, you make me feel so young.
Oh, yeah.
Like I wanted a marriage that made me feel like that.
Did that aunt and uncle have kids?
They did.
Oh, yeah. Oh wow.
I was hoping surprised. I was hoping
they're still really happy.
Okay.
But like, you know, and I don't think that, I mean, we'll get into that, but like the kids thing is a whole other, you know.
Oh, right.
But
tell me about it.
I will say that when I met Andy, I was like, oh, this is the guy. Like there was,
oh, wow.
And I remember coming to talk to you about it.
Oh, I sensed it for sure. There was that, you know, because you had actually
calmly knew.
You had gotten out of a really long-term relationship. And then like, I feel like, you know, you can just read people's energy. Like it was like a side of you that I had never seen as your friend before.
Yeah,
what
it was really
side
weird.
Like? Just a different, like you felt lighter, I would say.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. It's fun to see your friend like, oh, this love is changing her for the better.
Yeah. And not in like, I never felt delusional. I felt
that's
like
good.
I felt light and I felt happy and silly, but I didn't feel delusional.
And it was also the one thing that I couldn't make fun of you about. So I knew you were like serious about it. Cause like you can make fun of anything. Like, you know, yeah. Rosebud's had a lot of things, serious things happen in her life that she's fine making fun of. But I was like, this relationship was off limits. And I was like, oh, she really likes him.
Yeah, no, I like really.
I'm like that with boyfriends. I'm like, if you fucking look at him weird, I'll punch you.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I am very protective. So, yeah. I remember somebody coming up to me and being like, oh, Andy's so cute. Like, I remember he and I were like flirting a while ago. And
what? That's a weird thing to say.
And I literally looked at them and I was like, cool, we like the same things.
They yeah, Rosebud took out a knife.
Yeah, I literally was like, go fuck yourself. I got so pissed. Yeah, and I had never been jealous before. I wasn't like a jealous person. And I still am like, why am I jealous?
It's so. It seems maybe more protective.
Yeah, I
of
mean.
This thing you find very precious.
Yeah, I mean, if. There's probably a fucked up underside to it, but if we paint it that way, I'm more comfortable with that anyway.
Yeah, you could either be a Christina about it or Corinne.
Right. Yeah, there's probably like a fucked up twisted thing that I haven't explored fully, but yeah, I do. I think that there's definitely a protective element to it when he's upset or when somebody like isn't nice to him or doesn't laugh at his jokes in public. Like if he tells a joke and nobody hears it, I get so mad. I get so mad at the whole group. I'm like, they missed it. It's like I told it.
So you guys really like are each other's cheerleader. Like,
that's
a very supportive relationship too.
Yeah.
And that's exciting because it's like, God, the sky's the limit with that kind of bond.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think it's tough because we're both comics. So there's definitely a level of like competition that
is really?
There.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, who gets the bit kind of competition?
Or like who's succeeding more?
Oh yeah,
like Tom Green, Drew Barrymore. I'm fascinated by this dynamic.
It's more that, yeah. And but here's the thing: I was in a relationship with a comic before, and we never talked about that. And to be honest, why would we? Like, he was a black guy, I was a white woman. It's like, what are we in competition for? Like,
right?
Don't tell any jokes. Same, yeah. From the perspective of a black man, and you're good. You
right,
know?
Right, right.
And I, so. With him, but here's the thing, if you don't talk about it, there's shit that goes on. There's jealousy that may not be connected to logic or, you know, emotions are emotions. Mm-hmm. So they're weird.
Yeah.
And I feel like not bringing that up, I don't know, it just made shit weird sometimes. So when
with the past relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like he would disagree with that, but you know.
Well, this is just your take on
this
it.
This is just my take.
Yeah.
But with Andy, he's always like making fun of the fact that he's always like, yeah, you're going to leave me for like a TikToker or like a, you know what I mean? Or you're going to leave me for like some guy in the NBA or like, which is first of all, hilarious that he thinks anybody in the NBA wants anyone over 30.
Yeah, right. You're way too geriatric.
Yeah.
For that.
I'm like, literally, I might as well be their grandma.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's just more healthy now. You know, even though,
because joking about it is like the way of bringing it to the surface.
Exactly.
Because it's the tension's there no matter what. That's the thing. I don't understand how it cannot be in any relationship where I've dated anyone in this industry. Like, it's always there and it's always, you know.
Yeah.
It just, and it feels uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And you don't want it. You don't want it. You want so badly for someone. It's like out of all the people, you want your significant other to be fucking happy for you.
Right.
When you're succeeding.
Yeah. I mean, and it's fine if they're not.
Do you feel that way though?
If they're not happy?
I want them to be happy for me.
Listen.
It bothers me when people are.
Ideally, they'll be happy for me. But if they're not, I get it. I'm a petty bitch. I understand. If you're not fucking happy about it, just be honest.
Right.
That's all I want.
At least, yeah.
I just want you to be authentic. And just yourself at all times. You don't have to be your fucking best self.
Yeah.
You could just be yourself. And I'm not going to like necessarily be like pleased with your reaction.
Sure.
But people are people. And it's so funny. I was like complaining about my husband to my therapist. You know, bitching about him. And my therapist was like, you act like this wouldn't be happening with someone else.
Right.
Like this, you know, and he's so right. Like it would be happening no matter what. Like no one is perfect.
Uh-huh.
And there's this like idea that there's this perfect partner out there.
It's such
that
bullshit.
Isn't going to suffer from depression or that isn't going to have this
that
issue.
That isn't a human being.
Yeah. And it's like, you're dealing with a whole ass person.
Yeah.
And that's complicated.
Yeah. And everybody, you know? And each person has their own way of dealing with things and doing things in every way of life that you can possibly imagine. And living by myself for the last 2 years, I'm like, that's a lot. Like having two, I think about it more. I'm like, man, because I lived with a guy for 6 years. We were together for 7. And I'm like, I'm honestly really impressed with us. So we had a pretty good run. Like we really didn't fight that much until the very end when we broke up. But like, wow, I can't believe two humans can live together and like make it work.
Yeah. And it's crazy. Like that's, I think the thing about being married that probably caught me off guard was the identity crisis that happens afterwards. Like I feel like nobody really...
What identity crisis tells you did you experience?
Is it like from like a feminist perspective or...
Yeah, from a but also just from an as an individual, you go from being single to being married.
I worry about that a lot.
And I didn't. Yeah, it's like there is a lot of compromising, and by compromise, what I mean is doing something that you don't want to do because it makes them happy.
Right.
And that was just so foreign to me.
You feel like that happens a lot more once you put the label of marriage on it, because I mean, to me, that's that.
I think it happens more.
Do you, because you feel obliged to because you are married?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's like a, because there's fucking paperwork that has to be done.
And it's long term. So
and it's
like,
long term.
Let's make this good for both of us. I want to enjoy this. You want to enjoy this sometimes.
And there's like, and it's bigger issues. It's like the fact that, you know, if Andy dies, obviously I'm going to be sad, but I'm also going to inherit his fucking debt. So like, what I mean? It's like another layer.
Like, you're so right.
I'm like, can you not kill yourself? Because that puts me on the hook for your fucking shitty financial decisions.
Right. So if he's in this zone of like, oh, I'm feeling so whatever, that now has repercussions.
I hate
in
that
addition
part
to
of
losing
marriage.
A partner.
Right.
I hate that part of marriage. Yeah.
I'm so glad I didn't marry that guy the last long-term relationship, because he ended up suing us. So I'm like, he would have taken all my money.
Yeah.
Every single penny.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the thing. It's like, how petty
did you get a prenup?
How petty is he? You know, no, I didn't get a prenup. Are you kidding me? I was going to get a prenup.
Because if you make, you can get,
lawyer
was
like, you can get a postnup.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, it's $10,000 for each person.
What?
To get their own lawyer. So each person has to get their own lawyer. And then that's like a $10,000 retainer. And then the other thing is to get all of it written up is probably more. And so I just get a lawyer and I was like, you know what, I'll just take the loss later. And I'm just like assuming we're getting divorced.
You also know that,
but
like
if you start in your own sitcom, you get a post nup.
But like kitchen table contracts are a thing. So even if you guys just like jotted it down yourselves, like
it
doesn't have as much power in court, but it does. I mean, this is gonna be hard to go home. Like we send you home from the Guys We Fuck podcast and you ask Andy for a post nup.
Dude, he's so
no husband will ever send their wives to us ever again.
He's so used to it though, because I like when I was going to change my name, I was going to change it to like Baker-Haynes.
Yeah.
And so when we were on the Zoom with like the, what's the person that marries you? The official.
Officiant?
Yeah. The officiant or whatever. Like when we did the official wedding. Yeah.
Right.
They were like, are you changing your name? And I was like, do I decide that now?
Right.
And they were like, yeah, you were supposed to have decided that. And I was like, well, I didn't know. You guys didn't tell me that.
You should
send an email, send a heads up, make your decision.
Yeah, sometimes people wait for days to name their baby and they knew that was coming.
I know. And I was like, okay, so I just wrote, okay, Baker-Haynes, because I haven't really had a lot of time to think about this. And I also wanted to make him feel like get his dick hard. And I was like, all right. So then afterwards, I'm like, what do I do? So my name's changed, right? Like
it's a
all,
huge hassle.
And they were like, no, you have to go to the DMV. You have to go to the passport office. You have to go
to
the social security.
What if you didn't?
Like everything has to change.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to keep my name.
Yeah.
And we have to get remarried so I can keep my regular name so I don't have to go to the DMV. And I brought that up to Andy and he was like, you know, this hurts my feelings.
Right.
And I was like, right. But
yeah. But also, you know, the notion of taking a man's name is very dated.
Well,
like, think about it.
Yeah, it's. I did it as like a...
The hyphen's the ultimate
like
compromise, but then it also makes your name bumpy. You're a performer. Rosebud Baker's such a fucking great name.
I mean, I would never change my stage name.
Right.
But I was going to, you know, as like a little elbow to him.
It's one of those things where you don't give a shit, really, but it makes him happy, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's one of those compromises.
Exactly.
Things.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't do it.
And I think it was kind of like... Also, Baker-Haynes doesn't add that much to
no.
it.
No, mm-mm.
No, your
it wasn't
punchy.
Like a you know, he's
it's
not
like you're
Greek.
White, and now we still know you're white.
Yeah, you're yeah. really white.
Yeah,
really married white,
white redundancy.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to that excerpt with comedian Rosebud Baker. If you want to hear the interview in its entirety, head on over to apple.co/GWF, where you can subscribe to the Luminary channel via Apple Podcasts. Again, that's apple.co/GWF. We'll see you in Austin, Texas, September 25th.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.